Filthy lucre. You know, I thought about this. I heard that phrase in my head when I was driving down the road or somewhere. I can't remember where it was at, but you have a lot of time to think when you're in a car driving down the road for 9.5 hours. Once the kid goes to sleep, you got a lot to think about. The baby stops screaming. You know, and you can think. It's always nice. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's a pretty good time to think when you're driving down the road because pretty much everybody's sleeping except me. If I'm sleeping, we're in a lot of trouble. So I'm trying to stay awake and, driving 9.5 hours or however long it was. You get to thinking about some things. And when I got to the hotel, on Thursday, I was really, you know, I was studying this phrase, filthy lucre. This is good for pastors. This is good for people. This is good for, you know, God will use this with Brother Russ and everything as well. Just, you know, so we keep these things in remembrance, the Apostle Paul said. You've got to always assume that you're teaching people to prepare them for the future. Amen. When you're preaching, sometimes you don't even realize it. You don't know what God is having you do. But you do it because that's what God's laid on your heart to do, so you obey God and you follow Him. And you never know why you're doing it or for what purpose you're doing it, just to bring the truth. And you know, you just say, okay, well, this is what the Lord wants. Well, talk about this filthy lucre. The Bible deals with this about 4 or 5 times in the Scriptures. In the New Testament, actually once in the Old Testament, the rest of the time in the New Testament. By the way, it's mentioned 6 times. 6 times. Lucre. Mentioned 6 times. Isn't that interesting? If you understand the number 6 at all, if you understand what that means, that's the number of man. There's a few other reasons why, but that number 6 is a very important number, obviously, in Scripture as well. So, anyway, but Webster's, he says it's gain in money or goods, profit, usually in an ill sense, or with a sense of something base or unworthy. The lust of lucre. You know, I think somewhere Paul called it, they think that gain is godliness. And if you don't believe that filthy lucre is a problem today in churches, you're just not paying attention. Because it's everywhere, and these people are merchandising the people of God. And it's rampant right now everywhere. It's all about the money. You follow the, sometimes you can follow the reasoning of why pastors do things or churches do things, and a lot of times it's because of money. It's because of money. That's why they do what they do. And if that becomes the motivation, if that becomes the factor in why you do things, then you'll be guilty of filthy lucre. Whether it's the people or whether it's the pastor, it doesn't matter. In your life, you can become guilty of that, of being desirous of filthy lucre. That word lucre, lucrative, you've heard that before, a lucrative opportunity, things like that. Well, let's pray. Father, we need you, Lord. I pray you just open up our understandings to this, to the Scriptures. We need it, Lord. We need this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Say, could filthy lucre really be a problem? If it's mentioned 6 times, if it's mentioned once, it's a problem. If it's mentioned 6 times in the Bible, I think it's something we ought to take. By the way, I've never heard a sermon on filthy lucre. I didn't even know how to say that word until a few days ago. Just kidding. I still don't know how to say it, probably. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Verse number 3. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. What happened? Samuel's sons. Turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 8. You're right there. 1 Samuel, I'll turn over there too. I didn't have it quite ready yet. Keep praying for me. I'm not feeling good. You never know what's going to come out. I'm just trying to keep my thoughts and everything. 1 Samuel chapter 8. You know, these are some young men that what were they after? They saw that the priesthood, they saw that could be for money. That could be for advantage. It says here, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second Abiah, And they were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. It became about the money. They saw it as an advantage. They made money by a filthy way. The Bible calls it filthy. Filthy lucre. If a pastor has in his mind that money is going to be the major factor of his ministry, or how much money he can make, or what he needs to have and everything else, then it does not become about faith anymore. It becomes about filthy lucre. And we have to guard ourselves against that. Everybody does, but a preacher does especially. In Psalm 26, verse number 9, turn there, please. Psalm 26, verse number 9. The first time we see, though, that word lucre, it's coming from these, is concerning these sons of Samuel. I mean, Samuel's a great prophet of God. Psalms 26, verse number 9. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and in their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. He said, my foot standeth in an even place. I'm not imbalanced. I'm going to follow God. I'm not going to take bribes. I'm not going to give over to filthy lucre. He said, I don't know any preacher that would take a bribe. Well, they wouldn't call it a bribe. But there are men that know that they can control churches through money. Through the amount of money they give, that they can control that. And they do. And the pastor lets it happen because we got a good thing going here. We can't let something get hurt here. If we upset this person, if I preach against this, then that person's going to be upset. And if they get upset, they'll stop giving. You know, I say to a man like that, well, you dirty little rat. You're telling me you're giving money because you want favor? Your sacrifice isn't even accepted of God. Thy money perish with thee. Oh, that's terrible. No, that's true. That's true, and it takes faith of God to believe that and to show men that try to use that that you're not going to give in. I've seen men do it. They tried to do it here. Didn't work. Why? Because they didn't call me. If they thought they was going to starve me out or do something here, or this church couldn't make it without them. No, you won't make it now. Yeah, I know. I've been told that. I was told that a few years ago. I was told that by a Christian psychic that called himself a Christian psychic. You won't make it 2 years. Boy, was he wrong. The Lord was right. My foot standeth in an even place, in the congregations will I bless the Lord. If you're even a thought in your mind that you'll use money to influence people, you better repent. Yeah. Get it right. Don't use money like that. Simon the sorcerer tried to do that. He said, hey, can I buy, hey, I seen you lay hands on people and they get the Holy Ghost and they get to do, man, can I pay for that? I'll pay you some money. What did he say to him? He looked right at him and said, you're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. You're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. So he said to him, looked right at him and said it right to his face. Peter should have been nicer than that. He was a little too abrupt with that. I know, you're supposed to play games with witchcraft. Number two, the second time we see filthy lucre talked about, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, please. By the way, this is a good warning for preachers to understand. Amen? You have one man in this room besides myself that's been called to pastor. that we'll lay hands on, that you don't know out of these young people who may be called of God. They need to have some things instilled within them, some truth instilled within them. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Paul here calls it greedy of filthy lucre. He says it's filthy. A man that desires money at any cost, a man that is consumed with making money, should not get in the ministry. If you are somebody that has this desire to for upward mobility, you hear these pastors talk about how to get to the next level. If that's your desire, stay out of the pulpit. Don't get in it. You're going to do a lot of damage along the way. You're going to hurt a lot of people with that. You're going to hurt a lot of people with that type of mentality. I got to get ahead. I got to get to the next level. I believe a pastor can work and should work in the beginning of his ministry especially, and after that if the Lord wills. I mean, each time was different where Paul was. I mean, Brother Russ, as far as I know, is not going to quit his job. Amen. He's going to keep working, waiting on the Lord. That's trusting God, by the way. If you think that's not, you're nuts, because his workload is going to change. Not just what he does at work, but what he does for the Lord is going to change in a lot of ways. A pastor must care for his family first. The Apostle Paul said, how can a man rule the house of God without being able to rule his own family? To care for them, he'd be worse than an infidel, the Bible says. So it's not greedy of filthy lucre to take care of your family. You need to work. You need to make sure that your family's taken care of. They need to come first in the ministry, before your ministry. They are your first ministry. They are the first line of defense. Amen? You've heard phrases and coined phrases from pastors that say, well, anything can be fixed with soul winning. No, your family can't be fixed with soul winning. If you go knock doors 10 hours a day and you neglect your family and have nothing to do with them, that's not soul winning's not going to fix it. By the way, that's witchcraft anyway. But when you say things like that, it's goofy. It's witchcraft. But if you understand this concept that your family comes first, otherwise how can you rule well the house of God? Needs to come first. Any man that sends you out or deals with you or trains you, if he doesn't see that need, get away from that person. When Brother Russ came here, I wasn't like, well, you know, I mean, I knew what God had called him to do. I already knew that. God had already pointed that out. But I didn't look at him and say, well, listen, man, you're going to have to spend some time away from your family. You're going to have to sacrifice some of these things. You're going to do it. No, on the contrary. You take care of your family first. He'd call me up and say, man, I can't do this. I can't make it down. Okay. Take care of your family. He's working long hours. And he wanted to come street preaching. He wanted to do some things. And he said, you know, I just can't. I said, well, you need to take care of your family. You take care of your family. God will work everything else out. You care for your family first. You put them first. Like God does. Now you put God first, but His order is family first. It would really defeat the purpose to start a family Bible Baptist if the family didn't matter. Wouldn't it? Does it mean that you won't sacrifice with long hours or work hours or anything like that? You'll make less than other people do at times. But that in no way releases that body from caring for that pastor either. It's not greedy of filthy lucre, which I'm going to point out later, for a pastor to be cared for. It's not greed. I've heard people say, well, you know, no, you know, I would never take it. Well, I don't take a salary because I don't believe in that. I believe whatever the Lord provides, He provides. And He's providing from a lot of different resources. If you just put it in His hands, He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. God's not a respecter of persons. He'll do it for you too. And does do it for you. How many today are greedy of filthy lucre, though? This base gain, this gain is godliness. This doctrine of, hey, I gotta have everything. You know, God wants you to be rich. Pastors out there preaching today, the prosperity gospel, which we'll talk about in a second, that is greedy of filthy lucre. Hey, God wants you to be rich. Really? Where does He say that? Where's the chapter and verse for that? God just wants you to make money. He wants you to be rich. He wants to, I mean, just the seed faith. He wants you to be rich. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. The deacons aren't to be greedy of filthy lucre either. Base gain, gotta make money, gotta have it all. Why? They're not allowed to be that way? No. Why? Because they're to be faithful men, faithful to the cause of Christ. If a man is ordained a deacon, which I believe you ordain a deacon, amen? And I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where they take a rotating shift. I've never seen that. I see churches that do that, they take a rotating shift. It doesn't say that anywhere. That I've seen anyway. I thought about that. If a pastor is ordained for life to be a pastor, which I believe he is, by the way, in the ministry. I mean, you may start other churches and do other things. But I believe that when hands are laid on you, they're laid on you for the purpose. They're not laid on you for a temporary purpose. That's what you, when the church lays hands on them and sends them out, that's their work. That's what they said they were doing. Amen? I think the deacon's the same way. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where it's any different. The deacons must not be greedy of filthy lucre. Why is that so important? Because if not, number one, they will fleece the flock of God, not feed them. If a pastor and deacons together are greedy of filthy lucre, they're going to be fleecing that flock. By the way, I've seen that happen. They'll use people for their own benefit. I've been in churches where that goes on, by the way. I watched a man that was a deacon. I watched him hire people from that church, pay them what I consider dog wages, work them like a bunch of dogs, okay? While he sat in a truck and watched them work. Found everybody. I mean, he'd find the guys that couldn't speak English and he'd hire them so he could pay him next to nothing. And he'd use the church to run his business. Nobody said anything to him. Nobody tried to stop him. Nobody thought that there was something wrong with that. By the way, that same preacher used to say things like, well, if you wait for a man to fulfill all these qualifications, you'll never have anybody. These aren't suggestions. They're qualifications. Right? That's what was said, though. I remember one man wanted to do that with me. He wanted me to go and work for his business and told me what he was going to pay me. And I said, nah, I'm good. I'll pass. I didn't like that guy anyway. He didn't follow the Bible. Took advantage of people. Don't take advantage of people. That's a form of that greedy, filthy lucre, that desire for base gain, that desire for gain no matter what. As long as my bottom line is okay, that's all that matters. That's wicked. That's wicked. Shouldn't be like that. That's not the way God's people are to be. We're not to think like that. We're not to treat people like that. Whatever we can get out of them, we just get out of them. Whatever kind of money we can get on, we just get out of them. Whatever kind of work we can get on, we just get it out of them. He just wanted to use men of God for cheap labor and get all he could out of them. I've seen another man like Len Reinhardt, a friend of mine from First Baptist. Len Reinhardt paid men good, took care of them, paid them good, respected them. You know what? He had no problem getting somebody to work for him either. No problem at all. Why? Because everyone knew him as a generous, kind man that was very giving and took care of people. And I couldn't, there isn't one bad thing I could ever say about him as I worked for him or anything else. No. That's right. If you can't take care of the household of faith any more than that to get cheap labor, don't hire people. Don't treat people like that. Now, there's a difference in doing things for one another. I'll do for you whatever I can. I don't have a lot of, I'm not Roy. I can't fix your car and I can't do some of those other things. I can be a grunt guy and come over and help you though. Amen. And will gladly. Whatever I can. Like Brother Andrew, and those guys know how to fix cars and do that. I don't know how to do that. But I can lift a box, Brother Andrew. Amen. I don't drop it on my toe or anything. A lot of boxes, right, Brother Paul? Amen. Pianos? Hey, when is that? That's coming up. Yeah, that's right. I got called because I'm an expert piano mover. Brother Paul is going to have me come over and help him lift a piano up. Amen. I can do that. And would gladly do that. Amen. But these people, they have this, there's people out there that have this greed of filthy lucre that they've got to make money. Their bait, their gain is godliness. That's it. If I could just make some money, everything's okay. If I could just, you know, get something out of that, if I could just get ahead. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 7 says this, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre." Not given to filthy lucre. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. Well, look at that, a lover of good men. I always get concerned when people like men that are evil. Amen. When they lift up men that are wicked. Sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And we're going to come back to this in Titus chapter 1, verse number 10. "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." He says there's many unruly and vain talkers. Well, Brother Paul, there's a remedy for unruly and vain talkers. And he lists it right here, what we're supposed to do about that. I like what one preacher said. We see that it says not given to filthy lucre. He's not to be given over to money-making scheme so that it perverts his judgment and his calling in his life. He is called to preach and he must take care of his family first, but he must not be consumed with making money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. I've seen some men that they've got that. They shouldn't be in pulpits. You know, it reminds me of this CD ministry. Is that we decided that we're just going to send them out for free. We don't want to charge people for them. Somebody says, "You're going to charge them postage?" Nope, we're going to cover that too. We're just going to send them out. We're just going to trust God. If they love the truth, if they want to donate, they're more than welcome to. They can do that. We're just going to send them out though. Why? Because it ain't about making money. faith. It's trusting God. I've got to sit here and say, does that mean God? Am I really going to be able to outgive God? Am I going to be able to give all these CDs away and pay for their production and all those other things and all that stuff? And are we going to be able? Am I going to be able to outgive God? Be like, well, God, hey, you ran short this month. No, I will tell you that will not happen. And when God started laying this on our hearts, then you tell me why a phone call, I get a call from some guy that emailed me 2 weeks before that says, hey, I'm sending you a duplicator. A brother, hey, I'm going to send you a duplicator. I can't be the only one that wants these CDs. Yeah, you are, man. Nobody else is that weird. You nuts? Nobody else wants to listen to this? No. He said, he called me up again. He said, you know what? I think we need to. I need to send you another one. I said, man, this brother's got a lot of faith. Amen. Now, I was gonna say, well, Lord, I want to do this. I believe you want me to do this. So I'll just go buy one. I'll try to get them. I'll wait for my tax return to come back, and I'll just go buy one. He didn't let that happen. The same week that I was going to do that, 2 days later, or I was looking to do it on a Monday, by Thursday morning, this man was calling me on the phone saying, hey, it's on the way. Why, we ain't greedy and filthy lucre. God will take care of his servants. God's a debtor to no man. Amen? We're going to just set it out and see what God does with it. Amen. Watch him provide and take care. Somebody said to me, man, what if, I mean, the one person wants like 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 CD. Well, they won't. That's fine. That's going to get expensive. It's not my ministry. It's God's. Then you know what started happening? 2 weeks ago? People out of nowhere sending letters with checks in them. I didn't ask for any money from them. I did from God. I ask God just to, I pray about that every day, about God caring, taking care of my needs. He just, letters come in. Hey, I'm out here in California. I've been greatly edified by your messages. I just wanted to send you this. I believe the labor is worthy. Another person. 5 or 6 different people. Why? We think it was because we just said, God, it's yours. We're not going to charge. We're not going to turn this into a money-making thing. Whatever you want to do with it, we'll do. We're not going to charge people. Let's let you do it. We'll let you lay on the hearts of people what they should do. If they want to donate, they can. If they want to give, they want to give a love offering, they can do that. I don't want to charge for preaching. Amen? You know, pastors need to be cautious what they get into. I've seen a rise in this. It's very concerning to me. There are a lot of pastors that get involved in multi-level marketing. You know that, if any of you know what that is, multi-level marketing is basically where you sign up your friends, family, and these people, and these people, and these people, and then, I mean, they buy soap or something like that. I don't know, bazooka bubble gum. I don't know what they buy, whatever. And they just buy stuff, and then you start making money off of it. You know what that happens to a man of God, that he gets himself into that? By the way, there's pastors doing that right now. You know what happens to that? You no longer are interested. Your main concern, your first concern is not the soul. But I look at you as a way to make money. If I look at you as a way to make money, that's a dangerous thing for me. That might keep me from holding back on something spiritually that you need to benefit me physically. Do you understand that? It might keep me back from doing that. It might, and that is what? Greedy of filthy lucre. That is merchandising the flock of God. It should not be done by pastors. They should not be in that business to look to sell things to their flock like that. I had an evangelist call me up and he said, "Hey, I got a new business you ought to get into." I'm too busy with what I'm doing to get into any business. Amen. I like what Nehemiah said. "We're too busy. I can't come down from this work to go meet you." Amen. "Oh, you ought to get in this and you can sell this." What, my church members show up and I'm trying to sell them and get them to sign up for a business and do all. What does that do? Changes things. Turns into filthy lucre, which God warned against. I've been in sales for 19 years, but I never approached any of you and tried to get you to buy anything off of me. I figured the way I preach makes you mad enough at me, you wouldn't want to buy anything off me anyway. Right, Brother Paul? No. I never wanted to. If you approached me and you asked me and you prodded me, then I'd talk about it, but I won't bring it to you. Why? I don't want to. I never wanted that relationship with anybody as a pastor, because it then taints it. Amen? I have a pastor friend that is one of the most giving men I know, and he runs a chimney sweeping business, but he doesn't use the flock for that purpose. He works with his hands. He goes out and he makes money, but he doesn't fleece the flock for it. In fact, he'll probably go clean their chimney for free. That's what he would do. But filthy lucre really deals with the love of money. Some people see the ministry as that reaching of the next level. Hey, let's get to the next level, that mega church type mentality. Pastors out there today charging for Bible conferences. There's a high level pastor, I mean an evangelist out there right now that charges $100 for a Bible conference, a person. And if you watch it online, it's $75 apiece for everybody in your room. Now, I can understand if you printed up books and they were expensive books and you had a big, I can get charged money for that. Cause I mean, it's not free. I mean, it's more than a CD. A CD is like what, 10, 15, 20, 30 cents. I mean, you know, a book, you got publication, production and all that kind of stuff. You got, I understand charging for something tangible, you know, that somebody, but for preaching, for teaching the gospel, for teaching the truths of the scriptures, you're going to charge people $100 a head. Sounds more like a Zig Ziglar conference. Sounds like a multi-level marketing plan or a sales meeting. But it's happening. And it's filthy lucre. It's exactly what it is. What did the Bible say? Matthew chapter 10 verse number 8. "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." First Peter chapter 5 and verse number 2. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." Not for filthy lucre. Not for money-making scheme. Not to make a fortune like Joel Osteen. You see that place? 30,000 people bought out the stadium for millions of dollars. What do they say? What do they... Well... The Bible has a pattern for these men that are guilty of filthy lucre. The pattern is found in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 10. "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." These men, number one, there are many unruly and vain talkers. What are those men that preach for filthy lucre? Most of them are vain talkers. Empty. Void of any substance. Tickling the ears. Amen? makes you happy and feel good. I mean, if you listen to Joel Osteen for like 5 minutes, I mean, you will feel like you could start an Amway business. He's a motivational speaker. Now, he also preaches witchcraft. But it's all about you. It's all about making you feel good. God help us if that's what you desire, to feel good and not be right. He says here, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. They don't follow, by the way, number one, he says unruly. They don't follow any biblical order. Do you realize there are preachers out there that do not follow biblical order? Many of this is you find in the street preachers where they travel around the country and do whatever they want to do. They have no authority. They have no local church. They have nothing. They just do what they want to do. Put pigs' heads on poles and go to Arabian festivals and cause trouble and get people hurt, and they talk dirty and wicked and nasty to people. They're unruly. They don't follow God's order. God's order is the local New Testament church sends out its evangelists to go preach. Not just some men travel around with no authority doing whatever they want to do. They say, well, my Bible's my authority. Your Bible says you're to be in a local New Testament church and be sent out and have authority. That's what it says. Not an island unto yourself to do whatever you want to do and be unruly. You don't have anybody to answer to. You want to know what would happen if Brother Paul decided to put a pig's head on a pole and go preaching? He'd lose his little piggy head. We'd take his pig head away from him. He'd be in trouble. So would I. If I did it. So would Brother Russ if he did it. Why? Because we have accountability one to another. That's why. We're not an island unto ourselves. Just do whatever we want to do. You know, when there's a few people there, you just can't go off and do whatever you want to do. There's a local body that has a governing authority to answer to. That's a safety that God put in the scriptures. But these men are unruly. They do whatever they want. They run around and cause trouble, cause damage, and do whatever they want to do and answer to no one. And then we have to try to explain to people we're not them. We don't do those things. We just preach the Word of God. Some of these men avoid the local New Testament church. They don't preach sound doctrine either. I can't even tell you what some of these, and there's actually some women out there doing it too. And some of the things they said I couldn't repeat to you in this room. But by the way, when they said it, there was a 5-year-old girl sitting right next to them, listening to the smut and wickedness. Unruly. Then we have the vain talkers. Greedy of filthy lucre. The vain talkers. Empty. They say nothing of spiritual value. But vain jangling. Empty words like your best life now. The power of positive thinking. By the way, there's a lot of fundamentalists that would put down Norman Vincent Peale for his power of positive thinking, but they actually taught the same thing. They just didn't call it that. Oh, you can't be negative. Really? Because 3/4 of the Bible is negative. 3/4 of the commission for a preacher to go out and preach is negative. Amen. Look it up. Read the sermons of Jesus. Read the sermon on the Mount. Read the sermon in the valley there. Read John the Baptist. It wasn't puppy dogs and rainbows. That's right. 3/4 of the gospel is negative. We need to understand that. But these men want to be positive. We want to be positive. Getting the truth is positive, though. Being lied to is negative. Amen? There are many deceivers out there, it says. They preach for filthy lucre. Deceivers, men that are preaching a prosperity message. the word faith movement. Oh, if you just say it, it's going to happen. You just didn't. And if it don't happen, you just didn't say it right. That's what's wrong. You got to say it a certain way for it to work. That's being taught, by the way. I heard a message. I was doing some research on Joel Osteen. He was saying things like that. Oh, you gotta just release it. You gotta release it. You just gotta say it. I'm free. And he starts crying. You look like a little woman up there talking. I just look like a little woman up there talking. Little sweet thing. I think I'd hurt him if I preached to him. I really think he'd break. I do. I think he'd just snap right in half. I really do. But don't worry. On Wednesday, if you listen to that message, I'll show you the wickedness of that man. And you won't feel sorry for him as he's leading millions and millions of people to hell. Millions. Preparing them for the Antichrist, that's right. They're deceivers, though. Robert Tilton, he's one of them. Being poor is a sin. Jesus said, the poor you'll always have with you. But he says, being poor is a sin. Robert Tilton, by the way, is the same man that said, did you see that clip? I sent a clip out to people. If you didn't see it, it's funny. He sent a clip out and he goes, the devil told me to say this. Then he stopped and goes, whoops. He goes, I don't know where that came from. I do. Truth finally came out of his mouth. Jerry Seville says, if we please God, we will be rich. Where does it say rich in heaven? Not on earth. God wants his children to wear the best clothes, drive the best cars, and have the best of everything. Just ask for what we need. Kenneth Hagin, Sr. These are some of the bewildering comments of the prosperity gospel. Their God is a sort of cosmic entrepreneur who can be used by tithing and offering to attain the real, what really matters, a prosperous life. It's filthy lucre. They're preaching for money. So how do you know they're preaching for money? Well, they're making millions, and they ain't making anybody mad, and they're preachers. And men don't love Bible preachers that are lost.
No.
They hate them. And I got news for you. There's some saved people that don't like Bible preachers either. They may not hate them, but they don't like them very much. Because they want their flesh to be pleased. And that's filthy lucre. It's preaching for that ill-gotten gain, that gain at any cost. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Rebuke them sharply, it says. They're vain talkers. You're to rebuke them sharply. Their wicked deeds, you're to rebuke them sharply. He didn't say do it nice. Be nice. He said sharply and firmly. But again, it's not filthy lucre for a pastor to be cared for by the flock. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and we'll be done. I'm just going to read you these verses and we'll be done. Paul explains how a preacher is supposed to be cared for, the responsibility of the flock. Now, we don't pass an offering plate around, play music, and watch you put money in to make sure all of you are giving. We just set it over there. If you give, between you and God. If you don't, it's between you and God. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I be an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of our Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have we not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare at any time of his own charges? He's saying, hey, I'm not in this battle because of me. Do you see that, by the way? You see why there has to be authority, Brother Paul? You see what he said? Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? I'm not in this war on my own because I put myself in there. God put me in it. Amen? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? What's he saying? He's saying, so we preach to you spiritually and we feed you. Is it wrong for you to take care of the pastor with your carnal things? Is it wrong for you to take care of the preachers, the men of God? No, it's right to do. He said, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul's saying, hey, I'm not gonna, but you need to. You need to take care of these men. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so, if the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He's saying here that it's not greedy and filthy lucre for a pastor to be taken care of. For the flock, as he feeds them, they care for him. They take care of him and they meet his needs. That's not greed. It's practical understanding. Amen? And it's important. I have no complaints here. It's important, though, that people understand that. Now, there's a time for a preacher to work and that he has to, and there's a time when things get moving and God brings more people in and people are able to give more, that they do that. But he's saying also that that's your responsibility. As you that are fed spiritually, it's your responsibility to recompense that and to care for them. That's the difference in somebody that is filthy lucre, that needs to build at any cost, make something big at any cost so they can have, thinking that gain is godliness. You will tell that by the way I preach, it's not designed to keep you happy so you'll keep giving. If you don't give unto the Lord, that's on your head, not mine. I'm going to keep preaching the truth. Whatever you decide to do, it's between you and Him. But I will promise you one thing, like I've said before. You didn't call me. You won't be able to starve me out. Not that that's anybody's motive, but you won't be able to. Why? Because God's the one that called me. And He'll care for me. Just like He cares for you and meets your needs. Amen? Doesn't matter if you have money or anything else. You're not going to be treated any differently because you have money. I'm not going to be nicer to you because you make more money than somebody else, or you give more than somebody else. I'll treat you all the same. Amen? Because your giving is between you and God. If I treat you differently, then I'm going to be greedy of filthy lucre. It means that I'm going to look at you and be like, well, I got to be nice to this person because they gave me money. Or they gave money to the Lord. So I got to be nicer. I can't say some things. A total opposite. I might say more to you. Why? Because you might need it. Amen? I've had people that made a lot of money that left here because they couldn't use it to control people. And they knew I couldn't be bought off, so they took off. Amen? Preachers have to be warned against that. Greedy of filthy lucre. There's tons of them out there, whether it's prosperity gospel, whether it's fundamentalism that wants to build up big old bodies, bucks, and buildings. Whatever it is. money marketing schemes or anything else. That's not what the church is for. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. We don't oversee this. I don't oversee this ministry through a spreadsheet. I never know what's going to come in. Never. From week to week. I don't have a budget. Amen. Why? We're not a corporation. We're not a business. We're church. It's by faith. And we believe God that He'll take care of us. And I don't have a set salary that you have to give me. Otherwise, I'm not going to preach. I've heard pastors say that. Well, you know, if I don't get... one pastor said he wouldn't go to a church if he didn't get $300 more than what they were offering him. You dog, stay home. Is that all the faith you have in God? Is that all you believe God will do for you? Stay home then. I know men that'll preach for free.
Amen.
And they'll just depend on God for it and watch Him give it. We don't have salaries here. Whatever's there is there. If it's not, we trust Him by faith. If He leads me, we'll go work for it. Amen? Either way, it's still God providing. Amen? Either way it is. Let God be true and every man a liar. But there's no money that you could say to somebody, well, I need this salary in order to pastor. God, I hope you. That's terrible. That's horrible. That's greedy, filthy lucre. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truths of it. Lord, bless the time we have together. Bless the food that we're about to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.